You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Everything your love caused me to win. Your joy sets my feet a-dancing. That's why the song I am declaring. I feel your spirit flowing freely. No matter what is going on around me, from the boat the storm seems fierce, but just like Jesus I'm at rest when I
all that is around me. And we
It's not a concept, you're not just a feeling, you are peace, you are love, you are joy.
Good morning, Frontline family.
Morning.
Say it with me, peace reigns.
Peace reigns.
Love wins.
Love wins.
And joy is in the house.
Joy Amen. Is in the house.
Cause when you walk into the room and everything changes, darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. And when you walk God, all we are, we give you permission. are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
And old things have passed. Our hearts adore. are beautiful. I set my eyes on you. When all else is going crazy around me, I set my eyes on you. Beautiful one, my heart adores you. Oh,
or I'm in love on the feet of Jesus. Or I'm in love on your feet, oh Jesus.
Our affection, our devotion, poured out on the feet of Jesus. And our affection, our devotion, poured out on your feet, oh Jesus. And our affection, our devotion, poured out on your feet, oh Jesus. And our affection, our devotion, poured out on your feet, oh Jesus. And our affection, our devotion, is poured out on your feet, oh Jesus. And our affection, our devotion, is poured out on your feet, oh Jesus. And our affection, our devotion, is poured out on your feet, oh Jesus. And our affection, our devotion, is poured out on your feet, oh Jesus. We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. And oh, how we love you. You are the one, you are the one, the only one that our hearts adore. 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 How we love you. How we adore you. How we love you. How we adore you. You are the one, the only one. You are the one, the only one. You are the one, the only one.
So Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. When Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, saw this, he said, "Why is this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief And he had the money box he used to pilfer what was put in it. But here are Jesus' words, and we're in John chapter 12, and this is verse 7 where we are. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd from the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had already raised from the dead. But on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in him. And as Josh was singing and the team was singing, I was just thinking back to many times that we've talked about this and many times we've thought about what it was like for Jesus before he went to the cross. Here he is announcing his burial. Here he is announcing what he's going to go through. And here we are on the other side where Jesus has already been crucified, already been raised, already ascended. And here we are anointing the feet of Jesus with our perfume, with our worship. And the Lord is just so pleased, I believe, that this is our time. This is our time to say, because of you, all things can happen. All things can be done. All things will happen according to your will. We know, beloved, that in Romans 8:28, he tells us so clearly that because of who he is, all things work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And his purposes are good, and they're right, and they're true, and they're holy. And we're here today just to declare that Jesus is holy. He's holy. You are holy, Lord. And you call us into your holiness. You call us to worship you in spirit and in truth. You call us to lift up your name. You call us to resonate with your joyful heart, your joyful presence, even in the midst of all that's been going on, even in the midst of pandemic, even in the midst of corona, even in the midst of any kind of loss or any kind of difficult situation we're in. I'm so encouraged by this passage of scripture. And there's other places in the Word where Jesus is reminding people that this testimony of someone coming and anointing my feet and someone taking care to put me above all else, that testimony will go around the world, and that will go before me. That will go before me. That will go before you, because the Lord says, "That's my heart." And it's so good to look into your eyes and just say, Jesus loves you. He's so pleased. He's so proud of you. And when I was worshiping up here, I was just reminded of something we talk about, not just at Christmas time, of course, but I've been saying a lot to the Lord, "Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word." And you know, when Mary found out she was going to be pregnant with Jesus and found out in verse 37 and verse 38 of Luke chapter 1, this is what I've been also speaking to myself and to many, actually, this week. In verse 37, it says, "For nothing will be impossible for God. With God, all things are possible." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her, and then she met her cousin. And you know the story here. It's kind of windy here. This is different than our house. And what she was told in verse 45, and I just celebrate that, she says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And that's Elizabeth speaking to Mary. Think about that today. Think about that, beloved. Think about, "And blessed are you who believes that there will be a fulfillment of what's been spoken to you by the Lord." Blessed are you, blessed. That means the Lord's favor is released. The Lord's hand is on us. The Lord says yes and amen. And this is Mary's response. Now remember, she's just new at this and just hearing from the angel that she's going to be the mother of Jesus. And Mary says, and this is Mary just exuding great faith, real faith, faith for something she has no idea what that would look like. She would be cast out. She would be in trouble. She would have to take a step of boldness and say, "I believe because you've spoken, I believe. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And now we walk in the fulfillment of that promise. We walk in. So when we sing, when Jesus walks into the room, everything changes. We can actually say, it's true. It's true. We believe. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Everything changes. Now listen. Listen to what he says in the word, what is written in the word. And Mary says, my soul exalts the Lord. My soul, verse 46 in chapter 1 of Luke. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions exalt the Lord. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble. He has had regard for the humble state of his bond slave. He has had regard. In other words, his eyes are on his humble bondservants of love. His eyes were on Mary. His eyes are on those who say, Jesus, everything for you. Jesus, I live my life for you. Jesus, I answer to you above all else. I hear you. I hear from heaven. And it was a supernatural act. The angel coming to Mary and saying, behold, this is what's going to happen. And in essence, he was saying, what will you do with this? And Mary, in her slight state as a teenager, actually was able to respond in faith. Real faith. Here's a picture of faith. Okay, this is not just Noah saying, hey, I'll build that ark. I don't even know what rain is. And I'm going to be cast out. Probably everyone's going to think I'm crazy. This is also Mary now, at the beginning of the full fulfillment of those promises, saying, let it be done unto me. As we have communion today, beloved, let's rest in the truth and the presence of God, in the faith that he's giving us. She says in 48, for he has had regard for the humble, which I read, the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. She's declaring his greatness. Wow. And holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. She's speaking of Jesus, the very one that she's carrying. For he has done mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Verse 52, he has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has conquered the principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness and darkness in high places. And he hasn't been born. She's speaking out the fulfillment. She's speaking out in living the fulfillment of the promise. And she is blessed because she believes. And he has exalted those who were humble. And he has filled the hungry with good things. I believe for us today, at the very beginning, she had a 9-month track to be able to see Jesus grow and become who he was inside. And she was used to birth our risen Lord and Savior. And he's saying, what will you do with me in this place, in this generation, in this time of coronavirus, in this season? And I want to leave you as we transition into communion with this. This is in Ephesians. This is in chapter 2. Because of who he is, I just exhort you to live in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 in this season. 1, 2, and 3. And remember who he is. And remember who you are in him. Okay? But in Ephesians chapter 2, I can't read it all right now because of our time. But let me just read a little bit in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the counsel of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too, We too formerly lived. We're not there anymore. That's the past. That's not who we are. We're citizens of heaven. We too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great, great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved and raised up with him and seated up with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing richness of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And a very familiar verse, for you've been by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one will boast. And we are his workmanship in verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. And we're walking in them. Amen? So we say together to the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. You can say that at home. You can say that here. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Remember who he is. And today we're celebrating communion in our house. I love it. Our house of worship here. And it's so great to be able to see you and look into your eyes and know that the Lord is in love with each one of us. And he is our strength. He is our boldness. He is our confidence. And he says, rise up, let hope arise, and let our enemies be scattered. Let our hope arise, and our enemies be scattered, because we hold on to the perfect hope and the perfect plan and the perfect peace of the one who said, my eyes are on you. My eyes are on those who are humble. My eyes are on those. I don't miss anything. I don't hold anything back. The Lord says, this is a beautiful day to live. This is a beautiful season and a beautiful time that we've been created to live out the promises of God for his glory, for his namesake. That's who we are. That's who he is. So as we bend our knee to the Lord again, as we worship him through communion, as part of partnering with all believers around the world, as we look forward to celebrate Pentecost right around the corner, 50 days after the resurrection, we're celebrating Holy Spirit come in power. Holy Spirit come in glory. Holy Spirit, release yourself around the world, in every heart, in every nation, to every tribe and tongue. Release who you are, Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands, beloved, right now. Holy Spirit come. Just come, Lord. We just thank you that we can praise you, and thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for releasing who you are to us. We can do nothing without you, for your power and your glory is upon us, God. We celebrate you today, and we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Fill me up with your power. Fill me up with your peace and your presence. Fill me up, Lord. I walk in the fullness of the fire of God and the fiery Spirit of God, who's releasing in a greater way. This is our call. This is our place. This is the beloved goodness of God. This is who you are, Holy Spirit. Focus on him. Focus on the Lord. In Jesus' name, receive. 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 Receive as we contend for fresh baptism of the Spirit of God. Beloved, cry out for that. For your world, for your life, for your family, cry out. I want a fresh baptism of new Spirit of God, a fresh Holy Spirit baptism that's coming in fullness. But participate now. Step into that. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. 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 Let it be in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Lord,
this is our God.
Yes, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for this time, Lord God, that we can come together, Lord, in a symbolic act, in a prophetic act, Father God, in an act of declaration, Lord God, of who we are in you, Jesus. So we thank you, Father, for holy communion with you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your blood and your body, Lord God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you. We thank you, Holy One, that you are magnified, Lord Jesus. That this morning, Father, you are magnified, Father God. You're bigger than the word pandemic, Lord. You are bigger, Father. You are so much bigger, Father, than the losses that we suffer on this earth, Lord. So we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that in this moment, Father God, where the enemy has shrunk who you are in our eyes, Lord Jesus, that by your Spirit, Lord, you are being magnified, oh God, in our hearts, in this place, on this earth, Lord God, that today your children will arise and say, you are glory, you are holy, Lord. Glory to the King of Kings. 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 We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. And as we come together as a church body, as a family, as his children gathered before him in communion, coming in communion to him, how can I believe? How can I stand? How can I remain in this place? The Lord put Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 on my heart. So I'm going to read it in a couple versions, and I just want you to listen to what the Word of God is saying to us in this hour, in this beautiful, glorious hour. In the message, it says, God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything. Whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. In the ICB, God's word is alive and working. It is sharper than a sword, sharpened on both sides. It cuts all the way into us, where the soul and the spirit are joined. It cuts to the center of our joints and our bones. And God's word judges the thoughts and the feelings of our heart. Nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. Everything is clear and lies open before him. And to him we must explain the way we have lived. And the Amplified, for the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, and both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed and revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give account. So this morning, beloved, I just feel like the Lord is just reminding us that what he says is what he does, and it's what it means, and that is truth. That his word is acting and living, and in this hour, in this season that we are living in, we need his word to divide our spirit and our soul so that we can continue to live from our spirit, so that he can purify our soul to the deepest parts of who we are, so that my mind and my will and my emotions, my body, my spirit, everything that I am moves in his tangent with his. that we are purified by his presence, that we, as we commune with him this morning, as we partake of the elements, as we drink of his blood symbolically and of his body symbolically, that it is reality in the spirit, that he is living, and what God says is what he means. And if we don't know what he's saying, then we don't know what it means and what he's doing. So in this hour where there's voices all around us saying everything in every which way, it is the Spirit of God that discerns what is truth. It is the Spirit of God that leads us. It is the Spirit of God alone. And we need his word to be that two-edged sword, to dig deep and to cut and to penetrate between our soul and spirit. So the invitation this morning is that with that in our hearts and that in our minds, that we're going to take communion. And they've been prepared. They're individually portioned, individually wrapped, and they're individually going to hand them out to each family group. So you just sit and receive and marinate before the Lord as we pray and as the elements are passed out. Because this is a holy hour, because we serve a holy God, because he is good and he is worthy. He is worthy of our yes. He is worthy of everything. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy One, that your word is active and true, Lord God. And this morning, Lord, we want to be the people who choose to lay before you openly, Lord God. We want you to be the one, Lord Jesus, to divide our spirit and our soul, Lord. We want you to be the one to purge us and cleanse us, oh God, that our thoughts are with you, Lord God, that our actions are with you, Lord, our motives and our thoughts, Lord Jesus. We want to lay before you today, Lord, our motives and our thoughts, Lord God. Our motives and our thoughts, Lord, our whole being before you, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that in this act, Father God, we can declare, we can connect with you intimately, Lord God, and commune with you, Lord. We just thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Jesus, for your word, for your word, for who you are. For you, Jesus, for you are the Word. You are everything. We just thank you, Holy One. We thank you. We bless you and we thank you. Yes, Lord. Come, Spirit of God, come. Keep coming, Spirit of God. Keep coming. Keep coming, Lord. Keep coming, Lord. Keep coming, Lord. Oh, may the sun continue to arise and shine. Arise and shine, arise and shine. Ooh, for you are with us, Lord. For you are with us. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, and please join us at home, wherever you are. You are here with us, and we are one in spirit. So receive everything that the Lord is giving out. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We cannot get away from it, no matter what. And that's such a powerful and loving thing. Such a loving Father. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That was pretty good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you already know his word is who he is, and it lasts forever. We need a little Hebrews this morning, don't we? We need a little Nehemiah this morning. So turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all you're going to teach us this morning. We are blessed to know you. We are your warriors in this place. We believe, God, that you're going to do something special in our hearts today. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. If you were with us Tuesday night, we talked about the strategy of a warrior. Thank you. We've been talking about warriors for quite a long season here. Talked about conformed to the world warriors, compromised carnal warriors, consecrated warriors, committed warriors, courageous warriors. And we gave examples from the Old Testament and a bit of the New Testament with Paul and Silas. We've been talking about Nehemiah as one of those courageous warriors. We said that he noticed a problem in Jerusalem. A report came to him, a bad report. Any of you had any bad reports lately? Heard any bad reports anywhere? And Nehemiah attacked that negative report. He was tender and open before the Lord. He fasted. He prayed. He declared covenant, mercy, and commandments. He appealed to God. He repented before the Lord for himself and for all those of Israel, all the Jews. He reminded the Lord of his word. He declared the word of God. When he heard the negative report, he warred against the negative report with spiritual weapons. And in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, he receives the favor of the Lord for doing the right kind of warring. A king is won over by the Spirit of God to give him favor. He gives him permission to go back to Jerusalem because it pleased the king to send me, Nehemiah says. He gave letters for governors of the region so that he could have safe passage to where he was going to do the work of the Lord. He had a letter given to him to the keeper of the forest for timber, for the things he needed in order to rebuild Jerusalem. And it says in verse 8 of chapter 2, the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Nehemiah realized he can't build on his own. We can't build on our own. We can't properly use the weapons of our warfare that God gives us unless we follow his spirit, unless we declare his word and stand on his word. He receives an armed escort to go back to the land. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. It pleased the king to do these things. He wasn't worried. He wasn't shook up that Nehemiah might go back and start an insurrection because he saw the hand of the Lord on Nehemiah and it gave Nehemiah favor. Do you believe today you have the hand of the Lord on you? Do you believe today that you have the hand of the Lord on you?
Yes.
Do you believe it today that you have the hand of the living God on your head, in your life, and living inside of you? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So he was able to do, verse 12, all that God had put in his heart. Do you have something in your heart this morning that you want God to do? And it has to do with building his kingdom, not just your own personal safety and welfare. Because God favors those kinds of things that are in our heart to do for his kingdom. He goes and spies out the land. He checks out the land in chapter 2 and onward. And he comes up against resistance. After he declares, "Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." After he makes that declaration, in chapter 2, verse 17, everything comes against him. Have you ever made a declaration for the Lord? Said you wanted to do something for the Lord, maybe go on a mission trip to a foreign country, maybe go down and minister on the streets of our cities close by. And then everything came against that. Fears and doubts and challenges came against that. It happened to Nehemiah, but he knew what to do. As soon as he declared it, those that he led started building the wall. Verse 18, then they set their hands to do this good work. And in verse 19, as soon as they start building the kingdom of God, everything comes against them. Sanballat, Tobiah, and others, enemies of the Jews, came against them. They laughed at them, despised them, cursed them, accused them. They were disturbed. That means what was in them was stirred up against the Jews, against Nehemiah. They had anger, intense anger. Are you living so radically for the Lord and following his plan to build his kingdom that the enemy gets stirred up at you? Have you been attacked by his strategies? It basically boils down to inciting fear inside of us, doesn't it? Inciting fear. But again, Nehemiah knows what to do. He's a warrior with a warrior strategy, a watchman's strategy. He has both. And in verse 20, chapter 2, he says, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Enemy, we have a mission. We're on a mission. And God can back us up to complete that mission. And you will have no part of it. And that came true. Even though they were stirred up, angry, accused, tried to tear down the Jews in every way, they never were able to have an attack. Verse 12. Sorry, we're moving on. Chapter 3, the work begins. And they go through a lot of building in chapter 3. Chapter 4, again, there's battle. Fighting against building the kingdom of God. Verses 1 through 3, Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, and he was furious and indignant and mocked the Jews. Again, they get attacked. They make declarations of doom. In verse 7, verse 4 and 5, though, Nehemiah steps forward again and gives a warring declaration, warring encouragement. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn the reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. He declares against the enemy and wins the day. And then verse 6 and 7, they go back to action. They go back to building the kingdom of God. They go back to building the wall. Verse 8, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. You know, the enemy doesn't have to necessarily win over our body with sickness, win over our body with attacks on our body or on our minds. He doesn't have to completely have us go crazy. His plan is just to create confusion. How many of us have felt that before? As we face something important or even minor things in our life, confusion comes. Then fear is part of that. And those two together are enough to have us be off track. So when they conspired to attack and create confusion, which is the enemy's strategy for any of us, verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. But hearing from God is even more powerful. And sometimes He supports us. That's how we hear. Suddenly the fear leaves. Suddenly the confusion leaves. He's supporting us. Are you waiting for a specific answer? Often peace comes first. Peace comes first. An answer might delay, but peace comes quickly from God. Rejoice in the peace. Stand in the peace before any specific answer comes. And it will be an awesome thing. You'll be setting up the receiving of what God is going to do in fullness. So the reports come in from others among the Jews. They start seeing some discouraging things that aren't going right. They start telling Nehemiah, they're coming. They're coming. The enemy's coming. They warn him 10 times that the enemy is going to be able to overwhelm their ranks. But instead of being discouraged, instead of fearing, Nehemiah sets forth with a strategy of the Lord to defeat the enemy before he even gets a chance to attack. I want that strategy for you. That it gives you your specific strategy to defeat the enemy before he ever attacks you. That's the best place to be, right? You know he's coming. Do you need to be reminded 10 times? I don't think so. You know he's coming after you. But the Lord always has a strategy to defeat the enemy. Always. 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 He's the same today. Today. I was anxious to get to today. Yesterday. Today. And forever. So he has a strategy to defeat whatever the enemy brings our way. And so, as you know, we've already gone over this in other times together. Nehemiah sets up the families to fight. They're ready. They're called to have courage. The Lord is with them. And so he calls them to remember that. They're called to fight. not just declare, but actually fight in the spirit, contend with the enemy, but enjoy. And God brought their plot to nothing. As the plot was revealed, he gave it to his servants, to those he loves, and it came to nothing. And so in verses 16 through 23, the warring strategy continues. They continue to build the wall. With one hand, they worked at construction, and with the other, they held a weapon. They are watching in prayer, and they are battling with the Word of God. In verse 20, Nehemiah declares, "Our God will fight for us." That's a good thing to declare in this season. Our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will fight for us. Do you declare at home? Are you reading in the book of Nehemiah or Ephesians or Esther? We've been provoking you to do that. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, I guess I want to read that one next. Jeremiah, I'm just all over it. If you're reading the book of Nehemiah, you will for sure receive something in this season of war. Absolutely. If you read through the book of Esther, you will receive something from God that will help you war. If you read in Ephesians, you're going to receive something that adds to your weapons of warfare against the enemy. So why not do that? Contend to do that this week if you haven't done it. In chapter 5, after they're winning against the enemies on the outside, as you would imagine, things within the people start erupting. There's things that need to be rooted out. They need to be a holy people. They need to repent of some of the practices that are making them weak in order to keep up the warfare. So that's chapter 5, all about that. You can read it for yourself. Today we want to concentrate on chapter 6 and finish with that today. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, "I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it to go down to you?" But they sent me this message 4 times. How do you know something's the enemy? If you have any kind of question of whether something's the enemy's attack, he keeps repeating. He keeps repeating. How many times did he tempt Jesus? Once? 3 times, at least in that session. But he was constantly coming after Jesus, just like he does us. So he repeats, he repeats, he repeats. And the great thing about our God, he repeats, he repeats. He repeats in his word, in the dreams, pictures, visions, and so on that we have. He will repeat them over and over and over to us. And we should repeat them back to him. And we'll be that much of a stronger warrior. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, 'There is a king in Judah.' Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together many accusations against the people of God, against you individually as an individual warrior, an individual child of God, are invented accusations. If you spend your time chasing around invented accusations and rumors, that's all you'll do. That is all you'll spend your time doing. So Nehemiah just doesn't pay attention to it. He doesn't meet with them. He doesn't fall for the enemy's schemes. Then I sent to him saying, "No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." The enemy constantly trying to incite fear and create confusion for you. If you can defeat those two strategies alone, you will hear the Lord much better in this season or any season. "Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaliah, the son of who was a secret informer. And he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you, kill you, kill you.' And I said, 'Should such a man as I flee? Should such a woman as I flee?'" That would be a good declaration as well. Should I flee in these days? Should I run? Should I try to get away? Or should I face up to the challenges, face up to the enemy, and be face to face with my God? "And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Are you relying on the things that you have been taught in the past? Those three-hour services we used to have? Are you relying on the things that were put forth in those times? Because we said prophecy from God is a treasure, and you can hear. The sheep will hear his voice. The sheep will hear his voice. Important in this time. Your dream life should be different in this season. Your hearing from the Lord should be different in this season. I'm praying that for you. I believe it will happen. So look for it. If you've not been expecting it, start expecting it. Because it's going to happen for those that expect it. "For this reason, he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me." He heard from the Lord. And he wouldn't fall for the enemy's devices. I want that for you. I want that for you. "My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Crazy acceleration. If you are in alignment with heaven, there can be crazy acceleration in your life to build the kingdom of God, to see answers to prayer, to see things healed up in your body. I like that. I love that. So the wall was finished on the 25th day in 52 days. 25th day of Elul in 52 days. This was a huge project. We were there in June. Man, wow. That was a huge project at that time. And still would be. And it happened when all of our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Are we going to perceive in our time and follow after the example of Nehemiah and others that this work in this season is going to be done by our God? We're going to be able to fight against the enemy's strategies and win the day because we're listening to the Lord. And he will give us several steps ahead of what the enemy plans to do to come against us. And the acceleration of the kingdom being built will happen. That's what I know will happen for Watchman Worship Warriors. Raise your hand if you're a Watchman Worship Warrior, because that's the safest place to be, in the center of God's will, in the center of what he has for each one of us, lined up with heaven. We bless his name at this time. And by the way, don't forget to be declaring Psalm 91 over your household. I said, don't forget to be declaring Psalm 91 over your household. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We bless your name. We are honored by you, God. This is your time in history to shine in our lives. We are vessels of the Son of God shining in our lives to let the world know. We are not afraid of your schemes, enemy. We are standing on the word of God, on the prophecy that you give us, speaking forth into our lives truth, wisdom, guidance, counsel. We receive it all, Father. We bless your name. And we will go forth in you and in the strength of your power. We don't have it ourselves, but we can receive it from you. On the inside, the outside, before us, behind us, beside us, underneath us, and over the top of us, under the shelter of your wing, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Oh, come on. Amen?
Amen.
What a good word for us to be encouraged today, to know that Jesus is in control. He's in control, and that we don't have to fear anything. There's no fear in love, and his perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment, and the Lord is not punishing us. He's saying, beloved, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For that's the yoke of love that he has for us. And many of us have gone through incredible things in the last few months. There have been passing aways of people, losses, in addition to jobs and various things, very difficult times. And it's very encouraging to hear that Jesus is in control and the Lord fights our battles, and that he gives a strategy as we recognize him as the leader, as the ultimate releaser of hope. He's the one. He is the one who is here for us today. And before we leave and sign off here, as we worship the Lord and we are signing out, worshiping our King, we just want to pray for anyone who is feeling heavy and burdened. And we know that when we do hold fast to the Spirit of truth, and we hold fast to the Word of God, and we come into his presence with thanksgiving and rejoicing in our hearts, that everything does change. In the middle of darkness, in the middle of uncertainty, even in the middle of just kind of coasting, if some people are doing that, any of us, the Lord says, look up, Look up, for your redemption draws nigh, and that this is a time of releasing hope. This is a time of releasing the future of the Lord's knowing. His mystery to us is coming into fulfillment. I just love the fact that we can rely on him and trust him in the midst of uncertainty. And what the enemy likes to do is build a case in our mind, a case in our heart, a case in our will, a case in our emotions, so that we will be weakened, that we will be moved away from the truth, from the power of God, from the power of the resurrection. Because Paul said, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection, and I want to share in the fellowship of your sufferings. That means I want to know your heart. I want to know what you're like. I want to know who you are and what you've accomplished and what I'm supposed to do in that. And that kind of personal, intimate connection and revelation begins to bring a place where our tears are dried. And we say, I'm going to believe. I'm going to say, let it be done unto me according to your word. Let it be, Jesus. I can't do anything. You might feel lost. You might feel hopeless. You might feel as though, okay, it's a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Well, I will tell you, beloved, it is not. It is the true and powerful living God who says that I am here to meet you, to live with you, to be with you for communion in my spirit. We're living in bold times. We're living in times of refreshing. We're living in times where the Lord says, come into me and I will make all things new. There was a word spoken over me by my beloved husband when I asked him to pray for me last night. And he's escorting me as his bride, part of the bride of Christ, right into the throne room of our Father. A nice red carpet as we're just moving in tandem. And I was in perfect peace and tranquility, because that's what he has. He says, come here. My peace reigns, my love wins, and my joy overtakes. Right. So we're going to pray right now as we close. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you for every heart that's been listening today, every person who's here in this place, and every one of us who's saying, Lord, we just want you. No matter what, he's saying, if you want me, as Mary, who is anointing my feet with her own hair and oil and drying my feet. If you want me, like Mary, his own mother, who wanted the baby growing within. If you want me, that's where everything will start to change. So, Father, I just thank you for everyone who's watching and listening, who's here today. Lord, we want you. We want you. We ask you to increase our hunger and thirst for you as you tell us to build the wall, as you give us your strategies, as you show us where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do. We want you, Lord. We don't want our own ways. We want you. We rebel against anything that is not kingdom God. We say no because you said no. You loved us so much that you said, I will go to the cross because you're wounded and you're hurt and you're lost and you don't have me and you don't have relationship with me. I will take you into my arms and remove the very sting that's come against you. That's what I'll do. That's who I am. That's our Jesus. Just give him yourself right now. Jesus, here I am. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my pain. I give you my sorrow. I give you my sin. Anything that has kept me from your love, I give it to you. Take it from me, Lord. I turn in the other direction and I come towards you, the author and finisher and perfecter and maturer of our faith. Give him yourself. Present yourself today, and he will turn everything into the place and the direction that he has. Holy Spirit, keep coming today. Let's worship our Lord. Let's sing out and declare and decree. Worship team, let's sing out now. We worship the Lord. We worship you, God. We worship you. Let's be on our feet. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. We give our lives for you. We give our lives to you because you are worthy and you deserve it, God. And we just say yes. Holy Spirit, come and continue to encourage us and strengthen us. We give you everything, Jesus. We give you everything, God. Here's our life. Increase my hunger. Increase my desire. Increase my hope. You are my all in all. You're my sustaining one. You're the giver of hope. You're the giver of life. And I say to you, Lord, that this is a day where I say I will not walk in confusion. I will not walk in fear. I will not walk in anything that robs me from anything that's good. I say no. I say no. I say yes to you, Jesus. Just say yes to it now. Worthy God, worthy God, worthy God. Just bring in, bring in, bring in the lost bride. Bring in, just see yourself coming to the throne of God. Just see yourself, just be loved by the one who's the lover of your soul. The one who believes in you. The one who says, I have things for you. Good works do I have for you. Give him the pain. Give it to him. Don't hold it anymore. Give it to him and receive his love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing out. Let's sing out as we close here. Let's sing out. Everybody sing with us right now. Sing with us now.
Jesus in our
adore you, Jesus. We adore you. We give you the praise and adoration you deserve. Thank you, God. Here we are once again, receiving from the strength of your heart, the strength of your heart. Here we are once again, sitting at your feet, adoring who you are, receiving the strength of your heart, of your heart, of your heart. Oh, Jesus. We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we
presence for everyone who's watching where you're at. Lord, we just thank you that you are here and we love you. We love you. We adore you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this season, what you are doing in this season to release life. You always bring life. You always bring hope. You always bring peace. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Pastor Bill is saying. So just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just thank you all for joining us here in this building and in the internet. Lord, we just thank you. We're back. Woo! We're back. Looks a little different, but we're back. So thank you. And we'll be back 7 o'clock for Fire and Wind. We'll be online. It's not going to be here. Yeah, just to clarify, it's going to be online. We're going to be meeting from the pastor's house again. But look forward to seeing you all there on Instagram and Facebook Live. And just bless you this week. It's good to see everyone. It's good to be back. Good to see you guys face to face. And bless you all there who are watching. We release that life.
Yes.
Life.
Yes.
Life.
Yes.
Let's just declare life to everyone who's watching. So just on three. One, two, three. Life. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed. Enjoy your week. Love on people. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.